Morning. Continuing from yesterday, we started with the Gemara, the parable of the lame man and the blind man, and which one of the Rishonim, the Ma'arecha Sa'ul Kus, said is a hint to the concept of Gilgul Neshamos, of Neshama rolling over from one life to another life. We saw the objections, or many of the objections, of those Gaonim and Rishonim who objected to this concept. And we also saw the objections and warnings regarding speaking about this in general. So we said that we're going to stick very close to the sources, not speculate about anything, and possibly just answer any questions by saying we don't know, because so many things we don't know. So with that, we will continue now with the views that we're more familiar with, at least to a limited extent, which is those who do believe in Gilgulim. And so as far as I am, well, depending on, I mentioned that we don't know who wrote the Ma'arecha Sa'ul Kus. Depending on who he is, he might be the first Rishon to mention this concept. As far as I am aware, I could be mistaken, but as far as I'm aware, the Rambam does not take sides at all, does not mention it at all. I was surprised you didn't. Somebody didn't. As far as I'm aware, the Rambam does not address it at all. The actually earliest source that appears to mention this is a medrash known as Medrash Rabbi Nechunya ben Hakana, also known as the Sefer HaBahir. Rabbi Nechunya ben Hakana was a Tana. He's mentioned in Mishnayos, for example, in Masechet Brachos. We're familiar with him as the Tana who prayed before he entered a city, and when he entered a city, and before he left the city, and after he left the city. And also in many Gemaras and many Bate Medrash, you find a tefillah to recite before learning. And he is, I believe, the author of that tefillah. So there is a Medrash attributed to him called Medrash Nechunya ben Hakana, or Sefer HaBahir. And he says in Bahir. Beis Hey Yud Resh. It means dazzling or bright, sparkling. So in the Rav Reuven Margolios edition, paragraph Kuf Tzadi Hey, he says, Mivnei Ma Tzadik V'Tovlo, Tzadik V'Ralo. Why are there tzadikim who have a good life and tzadikim who have a bad life? The tzaddik who has a bad life was a rasha before, and now he's being punished. So first he understands that he means he's being punished for sins of his youth. So do people get punished for the sins of their youth? In heaven does not punish for sins committed before the age of 20. Amrle ana lo b'chaye amri ana de amri shikvar hayal shavar. So he answered, I don't mean sins he committed in his youth in this life. I mean sins he committed in a previous life. Amrulo chavirav, so his friend said to him, ad matai tistom dvarecha. How long are you gonna literally blockade your words or keep your words a secret? In other words, what are you talking about? We don't understand what you're talking about. Amar lahem, he said, it's like a person who planted a vineyard, he hoped it would produce good grapes, and it produced bad grapes. Gadro, So he harvested it, he uprooted it, and he planted it a second time. He took only the good grapes out and planted, I guess, shoots from the good grapes and planted it a second time. Rosh lo yitzliach, didn't work, didn't succeed. Gadro neta'o achar shenika v'ra'ash lo yitzliach, v'akro neta'o neta'o, period. So he uprooted again, planted the good part again, and uprooted again, and planted the good part again. Ad kama. How many times? They asked him, how many times can this happen? Amar lei le'elef dorkti, if the pasuk says, for darav tzival elef dor, for a thousand, the pasuk says, for a thousand generations. V'ayinu d'amri taf taf kuf ayin dal dorot chasru v'amad HaKadosh Baruch Hu shtalan b'chol dor v'dor. And this is what Chazal meant when he said 974 generations were missing, and he planted them in every generation. The Torah was given in the 26th generation after creation. There should have been, for some reason, 1,000 generations before Matan Torah. Hashem took 974 of them and planted them in later generations. The neshamos that would have been, he planted in later generations. So that is Sefer HaVayir, and you'll note that two things that he says here that will come up later. One, he says this is the reason for tzaddik v'ralo, why there are tzaddikim who have difficult lives, because they're being punished for what they did in a prior life. And second, he says that it can happen, Gilgal can happen up to 1,000 times. Okay, so keep those two thoughts in your head.
Doesn't mention anything
about the Gemara with the
Rebbe
Lazar
ben Padaz with the mazel.
I'm not sure what you're referring to.
It's a Gemara.
You mean where Hashem says to him, yeah. maybe
should I recreate the universe?
There are many, many explanations of that Gemara. There's no, that Gemara is not necessarily referring to Gilgulim at all.
It seems to be referring to Basel. So I'm saying he doesn't address the
why
Basel
should
issue.
Why should he?
Because the implication that Gemara is not dead, Rezeb Rebbe Lazar Ben Padaz was from. I know I'm arguing against my normal theme, but the implication is. It was because of his mazel, not because of something that he did. That's what I was saying.
Oh, you mean could there be other reasons for tzaddik v'ralo?
That seems to be the implication of that Gemara.
There could be other explanations for tzaddik v'ralo. That seems to be the. I mean, there are in other Rishonim other reasons.
I'm just asking whether he addressed.
No, and nobody that we're going to discuss today addresses that I'm aware.
Okay.
So.
We do know that people are drawn to that question because my theory is.
To which question?
Why do things that appear to be bad happen?
Okay. Well, let's see what Rishonim and great commentators say about that. Okay. Okay. Many of the Rishonim and great Achronim who talk about this concept of Gilgulim talk about it in the context of the mitzvah of Yibum. And the first one is the Ramban. Okay. And Ramban, next week's Parshas Vayeshev, says that heir died rather, and he left his wife, and Yehuda told his second son, Onain, marry heir's wife Tamar, and Pasuk says Vaida Onain ki lo yehazara, that child would not be his, and therefore he didn't want to have children with Tamar. Rashi says he didn't want to because the child would have to be named after him, okay? After his brother who died. Rabban says, "Ve'ein zemet." This is not correct. Says, first of all, we don't find anywhere that there's an obligation to name the child born from Yibum after the brother who died. Second of all, Boaz did a form of Yibum to Rus, even though Boaz was the cousin of Mahlon, but they didn't name the child Mahlon. Okay. And there's no such obligation. Okay. The reason for the question is because Boaz says, "Veloi karet shem hamet meimechav." Let the name of the deceased not be cut off. And yet he didn't name him after him, so that's not what the name means. Okay. When it says that the pasuk regarding Yibum says, "Yakum al shem achiv," he will get up in the name of his brother. It doesn't mean to name him after his brother. And furthermore, let's say it did mean to name him after his brother. Most people, if God forbid their brother died, would love to name a child after their brother. Okay. Why should Onan object? Right. So he says that's not the correct interpretation. So he says that rather, aval ha'inyan sod gadol misodot ha'Torah betoldat ha'adam. This matter is a great secret from the secrets of the Torah. And he says that in the earlier generations, they understood this. That's why, even though the Torah only commands Yibum for a brother who died, but that's why Boaz married Rus, the widow of his cousin, because they understood this secret. Doesn't say what the secret is, because it's a secret. Okay? He doesn't say. And as we mentioned yesterday, the Ralbach who says the Ramban kept it a secret. Who are we to reveal it? Sources said, well, it's already been revealed, so it's okay for us to reveal it. And so we will reveal it. So there's a commentary on the Torah, large part of commentary on the Ramban called the Tzioni, written by Rav Menachem Tzioni, who lived in Germany from 1340 to 1410. And he writes, in the name of someone named Rav Avner, does not otherwise identify this Rav Avner. There's a famous story about Ramban having a student named Avner, and Ramban said that everybody's name is alluded to in Parshas Hazinu. And Avner laughed and went off and became an apostate. And many years later, the Ramban met him and said, what happened to you? And he said, because you said that everyone's name is alluded to in Hazinu, and that's ridiculous, and made me mock the whole Torah, so I left. Okay. So Ramban said, but it's true. So Avner said, where's my name alluded to? And Ramban answered him, it's in the Pasuk, Amarti Afehem Ashpita Me Enosh Zichram. And I will abolish his name from memory. And now I forget which letters in the second letter, Ashbita. May Enosh Zichram. No. Okay. In that phrase, if you pick a certain pattern of letters, I forget which, it refers to Avner. So Avner did tshuva, went out on a rowboat, and disappeared and was never heard from again. Okay. This is a story which, in my humble opinion, is clearly not true. Why? Because Ramban told him that you are alluded to in the pasuk, Ashbita me'enosh zichram, I will wipe their memory from mankind. But we're sitting here talking about him. So his memory wasn't wiped from mankind. So I know you shouldn't ask kashas on stories, but lots of stories beg for kashas. Anyway, that's a total aside. I have no idea if that's the Rav Avner referred to here, who maybe actually was a real student of the Ramban and a nice person, perfectly upstanding. I don't know who this Rav Avner is, but it just reminded me of that. That's just total
it's the
aside.
The same guy that I'm arguing against this story. Yeah.
That's true. Okay. V'tereitzer of Avner, Tam must speak. So the Tzioni says that Rav Avner gives a satisfactory answer. V'amar ki yada onen ki nefesh b'no b'chorom et tamari v'imtotia nefesh megulgelet shu nefesh er achiv. Onan knew that the soul of his first child from Tamar would be the soul of his brother Er. V'nefesh megulgelet lo timaleit v'nei esirim, and such a soul must have a difficult life, a life of suffering, lemarek avonot rishonim, to cleanse the earlier sins, asher asa er achiv. Aval haya rotzeh sheyeh b'no b'choro im shar banav misha acheret. Onan preferred that his b'chor come from a different woman. Kedesh sheyeh nafsho mitziah rishona. He wanted a brand new soul to be in his firstborn child. Right? Okay. So what's wrong with that? Vayaze achzariyut gadol shalonin. This is cruel. Why does this concept of Gilgul exist? Because Hashem is merciful. Hashem wants to give the soul of the sinner a second chance. And Onan refused to cooperate and have mercy on his brother's soul. And that was cruel. And that was his sin. He refused to impregnate Tamar. So that was his, that's the secret, according to Tzioni and many other commentaries. That's the secret that the Ramban is not telling us. V'da isha mayen, ki v'davar zeh talui kol shiltei atara me'alef atav sod ha'ibur v'sod ha'gilgul v'sod ha'ibum. This is the secret of Ibur and Gilgul. We will come back later to the difference between those two terms. V'sod ha'yibum, and the secret of yibum, tzadik v'ralo, rasha v'tovlo, v'ameitim kodem zmanam. This is the reason for tzadik v'ralo. It's the reason for rasha v'tovlo, why there are evil people who have good lives. It's because they're being rewarded for mitzvos that they did in prior lives. And it's the reason why people die young. They die young because of averos that they did, that their souls did in prior lives. So that is the Tzioni. Ramban alludes to this in several other places. One is in his commentary on Eov. Okay? The story of Eov is there's this fabulously wealthy man with a wonderful life and great children, and the Satan asks permission to test him, and eventually everything is taken away from him, and he's in a terrible emotional state, and his three friends come to try to comfort him and only make things worse. They get into deep philosophical arguments. Okay. Some Mefarshim learn that we learn from here what the friends should have done was come and just sit there quietly with him, not try to talk at all, and that would have comforted him. But when a person goes to a shiva house and says dumb things, he only makes it worse. And it does happen. You talk to rabbis, they tell you, I've heard shiurim about this, rabbis who have heard people say the most outrageous things. But the three friends do not succeed. And then a fourth friend comes by the name of Elihu. And Elihu has a completely different approach. And according to the Ramban, he explains the psukim in such a way that Elihu's approach is to tell Eov, you are a Gilgul. And according to some, in fact, Eov was a son of, was the product of a Yibum. So you are the Gilgul of your uncle, and you are being punished for his sins. That is how the Ramban explains Elihu's response. So one of the psukim in Elihu's response, Perek Lama Gimel, Pasuk Chavtet, is Hein Kol Ela Yif'al Kel Pamayim Shaloshim Gaver. All these things God will do two or three times with a person. Ramban says, Itachen Shekachi Hamida. It's possible that this is how it works. V'kein hizkiru chachamim masechet Yoma. And the Chachamim mentioned this in the Gemara. Yoma, we'll come back to that. On four things, I will not bring him back. That we mentioned yesterday, it's an allusion to a pasuk. I couldn't remember where it was. I said it was in Yeshaya or Amos. Amos was correct. It's Amos, Perek, Beis, Pasuk, Vav. And then the Ramban continues, and he says, and you have this in front of you, and the handout at the place that's marked, okay, with this mark right here, okay, and the handout that you have right there, okay. V'im tachpots lahavin hasod hanichbad, if you want to know this honored secret, libcha tashit ledati v'kiliotecha tishtonein, place your heart towards my opinion, and your kidneys, you should prepare to learn. Va'aleich chet titonein, and complain about sin. V'asur alecha alai panecha anan. V'asur alei panecha anan. The cloud will be removed from above you, from before you. Techazena inecha amelech v'kala. You will see the king and the bride. V'titzapel legula, and you will look forward to the redemption. Terei ofarim tomei tzivya. The allusion to a pasuk in Shir Shirim, Taomei, seems to have something to do with the word twins. Tomei tzivya literally means those two who look alike. Vagzera, and the decree, vavina, and the understanding. Okay. There, Ramban has told us the secret. Sure, we all understood that. Okay. So the Ralbach, who I mentioned yesterday, the co-author of the Ein Yaakov, he explains in a tshuva what this Ramban means. So he says, Tashit l'dati v'kiritecha tishtonein v'alchet titonein. So turn your heart and your kidneys in medieval writings are a reference to the places of understanding. Okay. So, Valchet tit onein, and complain about a sin. What sin? Well, hidden in the word tit onein is onein, the son of Yehuda who refused to bring back the soul of his brother through Yibum. V'tasir me'alpanecha. I'm sorry. So, and then he says, Hamelech, and you'll understand the Hamelech v'amalka. Now, our girsa is Hamelech v'hakala, the king and the bride. His girsa was the king and the queen. But either way, the king is Yehuda, the ancestor of David Hamelech and the kings of Yehuda. And the bride, or the queen, is Tamar. You'll understand the secret of Yehuda and Tamar. Titzapele geula, you will look forward to the redemption, to the Redeemer. Who is the Redeemer? Boaz. Who Boaz says to Ploni Almoni, right? He says about Ploni Almoni, Im yigal tov yigal. If he will redeem, good, he'll redeem. So the Redeemer is Boaz. To Omeit Sivya, the twins referred to are Peretz and Zerach, the sons of Yehuda and Tamar, who came back. So they would presumably be the neshamos of Er and Onan, who died childless. So, according to the Ralbach, that is the interpretation of this secret that the Ramban is alluding to here, which is exactly the same secret that the commentaries on the Ramban Chumash say he was referring to in the Parsha of Yibum.
To most opinions, Ramban says you could come back two or three times. Yeah, right.
So the Ramban alluded to the Gemara in Yoma. It's possible that this is how it works. Vikenis here on the pasuk, Hain kol elif al kel pamayim shloshim gavra. The pasuk says in Eov, okay, this is what God will do two or three times with a person. Okay. And he alludes to the Gemara in Yoma. So the Gemara says, Yoma pei vavam ud beis. Tanya Rav Yossi Bar Yehuda Omer. We learn a brisa. Rav Yossi Bar Yehuda says, Adam over vera pam rishana. Person sins once, mochalin lo, he's forgiven. Shnia, second time, mochalin lo, he's forgiven. Shlishit, a third time, mochalin lo, he's forgiven. Revi'it, ein mochalin lo. Fourth time, he's not forgiven. Shneamar, as Pasuk says, in Amos, ko amar Hashem al shlosha pishei Yisrael v'ra'a lo shivenu. On three sins of Israel, and on a fourth time, lo ashivenu. Now, ashivenu can be an allusion to tshuva. I will not accept a person's tshuva. The simple understanding is a person, one of us, in this lifetime, would do the same sin four times, no forgiveness. However, what the Ramban seems to be hinting to, and later I would not say this on my own, but this is how later Mefarshim understand the Ramban. Okay, and understand the Gemara. Okay. The fourth law, Arba'a lo ashivenu, the word shav, also means to return. Three times I will forgive a person means three times I will give a person a chance to come back in a Gilgal and repair his sin. Arba'a lo ashivenu, the fourth time I won't. Okay, no, there's no fourth Gilgal. Okay, so
real time.
So the simple reading of the Gemara is it means in your life. You sinned on Sunday, God will accept your tshuva. Sinned on Monday, same sin on Monday, God will accept your tshuva. Same sin on Tuesday, God will accept your tshuva. Same sin on Wednesday, you're finished. That's a simple understanding. But the Ramban, it's three strikes and you're out. Exactly. The Ramban is hinting, according to some Farshim, that what this Gemara is really saying, as I mentioned yesterday, Gilgulim are never once mentioned explicitly in the Gemara. However, this Gemara could be hinting that a person can come back three times. A soul can come back three times. If it doesn't correct its sins in three visits to this world, it's finished. There's no fourth Gilgul. That will have to be reconciled with the Sefer Abahir that said that Gilgal can be up to 1,000 generations. So we'll have to address that. Okay. There's one other place I want to mention. There might be other places, but where the Ramban mentions the concept of Gilgal, the Ramban, as I mentioned before, wrote a sefer called Torah Sa'adam, which is a sefer about death and mourning, primarily. And in there, he discusses philosophical issues related to sickness and death and mourning in a section called Shar HaGmul, the Gate of Reward. And there, he suggests he brings the Gemara about Rabbi Akiva. Moshe Rabbeinu saw Rabbi Akiva. He saw Rabbi Akiva's terrible suffering. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, Zot Torah v'zot Schara. This is the reward for Torah. Amar lo, Hashem responded, Shtok, be quiet. Kach alav machsha alfanai. That's what I thought. That's what I planned. Okay. Ramban says, perhaps this is also the secret of Tzadik Viralo, which is the secret of Gilgal. Perhaps Rabbi Akiva's suffering was due to his being a Gilgal of someone else, and he deserved to be he deserved this suffering for what he did. And we know from our Yom Kippur davening, and that that there is a tradition, and well, that the Asarah Grey Malchus, the 10 martyrs in the Roman period, were an atonement for the 10 brothers of Yosef who sold him. Or some say it's for 9 of the brothers. Reuven wasn't there, so Reuven and Binyamin weren't there. It's not. It's the other 9 brothers and Yosef himself, because Yosef contributed. Okay. So according to that tradition, which we allude to in our Yom Kippur davening, Sarah Harugim Malchus, so that would be what the Ramban might be alluding to, that Rabbi Akiva was a Gilgul of one of the Shvatim, and that's what his suffering was for, and likewise the other 9 martyrs. The Ramban does not explicitly say that himself. The Ramban just says, this is the secret. He says, Yesh b'tana zot sod. In Hashem's response, there is a secret. Nimsar lan shei Torah v'kabbalah. It's given to the people of Torah and Kabbalah. It's alluded to in the words of our Chachamim, and it is the secret of the Ibur. Now, he doesn't say where it's alluded to in the words of the Chachamim. This commentary on Shar Gmul Chazon Yoel brings many Gemaras, which others interpret. This is Chazon Yoel is a contemporary the rabbi in Detroit, I think. And he brings other Gemaras, which other commentaries suggest allude to it. For example, Gemara in Brachos, which says, Brachos Zayin Amud Beis. Gemara there points out a contradiction in Psukim about whether a person should start up with a Rasha or not. And the Gemara says, it's not a Kasha. Some Psukim suggest it's okay to start up with a Rasha. Some Psukim say it's not. Gemara says, Lo Kasha Habit Sadiq Gamur. Have a tzaddik sheino gamur. This refers to a tzaddik gamur. This refers to someone who's not a tzaddik gamur. Rabbi Akiva Eger, there, and this is called Gilyan Ashas. You see a little dot in the Gemara that looks like it's a tiny dot that's half filled in. It tells you to look on the side and Gilyan Ashas, Rabbi Akiva Eger. Rabbi Akiva Eger there says, usually his references are to Tosfos in other places. Which is a hint to Akasha on the Gemara. There he says, Ayin Zohar Kadosh Resh Parshat Pinchas. Look, Rakiva Eger says, look in the Zohar. And there in the Zohar, it says that what is a Tzadik Gamor, what's a Tzadik Sheinu Gamor? A Tzadik Gamor is a Tzadik who has not been here before. A Tzadik Sheinu Gamor, someone who's not a complete Tzadik, is someone who has been here before. So this Gemara could be one of the Gemaras that the Ramban is alluding to, and this is explained expressly in the Rikanti. The Rikanti says, he brings the Gemara, Tzadik v'tovlo, Tzadik. Sorry, the Gemara says, a Tzadik v'tovlo is a Tzadik ben Tzadik, and Tzadik v'ralo is a Tzadik ben Rasha. That's what the Gemara in Brachos says. Okay. And there's a Rasha ben Tzadik and a Rasha ben Rasha. Okay. And this is alluding to whether the Tzadik has been here in a prior life before or not. So if he's a new Neshama, we call him a Tzadik ben Tzadik or a Tzadik ben Gamur, and if he's a Neshama that's been here before, we call him a Tzadik ben Rasha. And that is someone who has a Neshama that sinned in a previous life and therefore is here again. The Abarbanel is generally a pshat commentator, and he also goes into the the subject of Gilgal.
Okay.
And it's in Parshat Ki Tetzé, where the mitzvah of Yibum is discussed. So the Abarbanel says that he brings the Ramban, and he explains that the Ramban is talking about he's talking about Gilgal, the Ramban in Parshas Vayeshev about Aaron Onan. And he says, so now he's alluding to some of the things we said yesterday, the objections of those who don't believe in Gilgal. He's saying, don't think as they thought, as we discussed yesterday, the way some understood, the soul is just roaming, looking for a body to be its home. And when one body dies, it's got to go find another body. No, that's not at all what the concept of Gilgal is. Okay. The soul is not just roaming around, going into the first living thing it finds. Okay. Rather, Hashem wanted to bring merit to the soul, and therefore it will come back. It's a chesed, the kindness of Hashem. Okay. When a person sins, okay, and now he explains, and there are others who explain similarly, why three times? Why does the soul come back three times? Which means that it can be in this life four times, the original time and three times. So early commentaries, and even later ones, speak of a person. There are four different character types, okay, which in medieval thought were, they had something called the four biles. There are four, a person could have black bile, red bile, yellow or white, and referred to the four basic elements of creation: earth, wind, fire, and water. Okay. And these are four different character types that a person could have. Okay. The character is influenced by the body. So if the soul was here the first time, in body type A, in character type A, and it did not succeed in its mission, Hashem will give it a second chance. It'll come back in body / character type B, okay, in a different life. If that doesn't work out, it will come back in a third body type C. And if that doesn't work out, it will come back a fourth time in the fourth body / character type. If that doesn't work out, there's no more hope. It won't come back more than three times, because what would be the point? The soul had a chance to be in every type of body there is, and it didn't succeed in perfecting itself. So this is a soul that's obviously never going to perfect itself, so it's never going to come back. So that is one explanation that Barbanel gives for why why there are three Gilgulim and not more. Okay. He doesn't discuss that. We will talk about that. Okay. It looks like this is going to continue tomorrow. Okay. Can a person perceive that he's a Gilgul and perceive why he's a Gilgul? Okay. Then he says that he gives another explanation for why there might be three and not more. It's a little more complicated, so we won't go into that. Okay. And then he brings the objections that we mentioned yesterday, and he answers them. Why? So he says that one objection was that if there's such a thing as Gilgal, then a body will have two souls, because you're born and then another soul comes into you. Whoever heard of a person with two souls? Another objection was that the body and the soul have to match. And so that means that two people will be exactly alike, and whoever heard of two people who are exactly alike? Okay. Another objection was that Another objection is very similar to that one. Okay. Another objection was, I neglected to mention this yesterday, okay, we believe in Tchias HaMesim. The soul and the body will be reunited. Well, if the soul had more than one body, how's that going to work? Okay. So that is another objection. Okay. And that's the sixth objection that he brings. Okay. So he brings several other objections, and he explains that some of these objections come from misunderstanding what the neshama is. Okay. The neshama is, as we mentioned yesterday, if you believe that the neshama always existed, but it can't experience life without finding a body, then you'll believe that it will randomly go looking for bodies. But that's not what we believe. That's not what we're talking about. Hashem created the neshama to, neshama is an independent spiritual existence. It's ready to gain knowledge and intellect, but it can only do that by being in a person. Okay. Another question he asks is, another question that he says people ask is, if neshama was already here, the neshama already gained intellect. So when it goes into a baby, was born, that baby should be Einstein or the Rambam. Why isn't the baby brilliant? Why am I not born with all the Torah that I was born with before? So he says that the neshama, that our understanding of the neshama is, it comes into this world, it gains knowledge. However, just like we find that if a person, the most brilliant person, if his body is not healthy, if he's sick, so he cannot, he forgets, he can't express his brilliance. Maybe he doesn't forget, but he can't talk, he can't express his brilliance. So the neshama in the baby, it does have all of its past knowledge, but it can't express it because it doesn't have the physical tools, because the baby can't talk and the baby can't analyze and the baby can't think, and therefore, okay, and therefore we don't realize that the baby is a Gilgal. However, he says, there is no doubt in my mind that the reason some people are child prodigies is because they're Gilgulim. So according to the Abarbanel, one way you can tell if someone is a Gilgul is if he's a child prodigy. Where did all this knowledge come from? Where did his ability to... He seems to know too much for his age. All right. So where did that come from? Came, according to Abarbanel, he says, I have no doubt, there's no doubt in my mind that this is the reason for it. Okay. Which body will come back? Which body will the neshama come back in? So the Abarbanel says that it will be the original body, because the first one, that's the Abarbanel's opinion. Okay, the others ask on this, says, how could that be? Take Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was a Gilgul of one of the 10 Shvatim. So you're telling me one of the 10 Shvatim will come back, and Rabbi Akiva won't come back at Tchias HaMesim? There will be no Rabbi Akiva at Tchias HaMesim? That's hard to imagine. Okay. David HaMelech was a Gilgul of Adam HaRishon. Okay. And everything I'm saying now is in this pile of Sfarim here, but to save time, I'm not pulling it out. Okay. But okay, that's also true. Okay. But Adam is Rashi Tevos, Adam, David, Mashiach. Mashiach is a Gilgul of David. David was a Gilgul of Adam Rishon. You're telling me that Mashiach and David won't be at Tchias HaMesim, only Adam will be? That contradicts a Gemara. We mentioned this Gemara before. Gemara refers to Gemara and Sukkah, the seven shepherds and the eight princes. And the seven, and they include Adam, David, and Mashiach. At the time, in the future world, they will be our leaders. Adam, David, and Mashiach, all three of them will be there. How can that be if they are all Gilgulim of each other? So we will leave that question. It's a kasha on the Abarbanel. And we'll come back and talk about that more tomorrow.